Good evening. This is the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. It is June 17th, 2014. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and let me ask if our secretary, Michael Novick, is ready to call the roll.
Sure. Teresa Allen. KPFC. Carolyn Burden, WBAI.
Present.
Fred Blair, KPFK.
Present.
Jim Brown, WPFW.
Present.
Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Kim Kaufman, KPFK. Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Hank Lamb, KPFT. Bob Lederer, WBAI, the chair.
Here.
Frank Lefevre, WBAI. Michael Lovett, KPFK, speaking here. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK.
Sorry, I'm here.
Serene Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Richard Guzel, KPFT.
Here.
Margie Wilkinson, KPFA.
Here, sorry, I was muted.
Mm-hmm. Jane Zara, WPFW. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a quorum. So before we start considering the agenda, would someone agree to be a timekeeper tonight? You just have to, you know, I'll announce the time
Teresa.
For each item. Hi, Teresa. I'll announce the times for each item. You just have to let us know when time is up. So would someone be willing to do that, please? We can try it without a timekeeper. It's not a good idea because we may tend to go over. All right. Well, I'll maybe ask a little bit later in the meeting.
Okay.
The draft agenda that I circulated a little earlier, I can read it out loud. Number one is approval of the May 29th committee meeting minutes for 5 minutes to discuss that. Two, status of national election supervisor job applications, election budget situation, and possible next steps, 20 minutes. Next would be, three would be next steps with timeline working group, 15 minutes. Four is next steps on cost-cutting measures and drafting, or I guess I should say whether to draft, a request for proposals for balloting and tabulation services. I have that for 20 minutes. Then report back on PNB action on election committee motions regarding the membership list cleanup and other motions and possible next steps, 15 minutes. And then finally, next committee meeting date, which just to remind everyone, we already set a possible date in reserve if we need it for next Monday, June 23rd. So we should decide, are we going to use that date, and then what date shall we meet in July? And that would be a 10-minute item with a time-certain adjournment at 10:30 Eastern. Are there any amendments?
Janet Kay?
Yes.
Well, I don't know whether it would be part of item two, but the implications of the recent announcement about the IED change and how that would affect the hiring of the NES.
Yeah, I would say that certainly falls under the purview of that item. You know, it's an overall kind of status check-in, so you can bring up anything you want around that if you think it affects, you know, the hire of the NES and so forth in the election process. Okay, any other amendments or questions of the agenda?
Bob, Jim Brown here. I can keep the time.
Great. Thank you so much, Jim.
And right now we are 1:35 into the meeting.
Okay, great. All right. So any other questions or amendments? Okay, hearing none, is there any objection to adopting this agenda? Okay, hearing none, it's adopted. And our first item is approval of the May 29th committee meeting minutes. Jim, that's a five-minute item. And I reposted what Michael had sent a few weeks ago this evening. So does anyone have questions or corrections to those minutes from May 29th?
This Margie?
Yes.
I just want to move that we adopt these minutes as submitted.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Well, hearing none, is there any objection to approving these minutes?
I have an objection, but I'm going to have to abstain because I don't think I was at that meeting.
Okay. That's fine.
Carolyn here. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So then those minutes are approved. So now let's go on to the second item. I did hear a beep. Is there a new person who hasn't announced themselves yet? All right. Well, let's go on. Okay. So the second item is the status of the National Election Supervisor job applications, election budget situation, and possible next steps. Jim, that's a 20-minute item. So what we agreed at the last meeting was that Michael, as our secretary, would write to the interim executive director, Bernard Duncan, and ask him how many job applications have been submitted and whether has he had a chance to review them, and if so, do they meet the basic qualifications listed in the announcement, and any other thoughts he might have on next steps in that process. And then also Michael would ask him, is there enough money at all five stations to cover the budgeted costs of the elections? And Michael, do you want to kind of update us?
What, Janet K., point of order?
Yes.
It's point of information. Are we streaming? I can't remember whether you...
Yes, we are.
No, that's, okay, sorry.
Okay, Michael? Let me just make a note. I don't know if Janet was referring to this, but in case anyone happens to have any... I can't imagine anyone would, but if anyone happens to know the name of a person who might have applied, they should not mention that on the stream. This is a discussion about process, not about individuals. So go ahead, Michael.
Well, I did communicate with him. Actually, also out of the earlier question that we had wanted some clarification on, which was the cleaning up of the membership lists for listeners and staff. And he got back to me saying that he had heard there were a few he was going to check. I emailed him again, I believe, yesterday, and he said he would try to have something with me by today. Actually, at your suggestion, Bob, I invited him to get on the call if he wanted to speak particularly about the financial thing. He said he couldn't do that. He had other commitments. I think I shared his response to the financial issue. He says, you know, still a pretty strong one. He didn't have particulars to give me in that first email. And I just checked my email, and I haven't heard back from him off yesterday's request. So as much as I know is that there were two or three applications in. But I don't know the quality of the applications from his perspective yet. And, you know, he thought that most of the stations would have problems in the current year's budget. I explained to him probably that it was going to stretch into the next fiscal year. The third question is escaping me at the moment because I'm going back and forth between my agenda and my other email account.
No, I think that covers it. All right. So we only have, you know, little bits of information, but the floor is open if people want to discuss next steps, what they think should happen.
Janet Kay.
Margie.
Okay. Janet and Margie.
Right. So I just want to bring up again the fact that there's going to be another change in the IED, and how does anybody have any thoughts about how that would affect this?
Okay. Margie?
Well, yes, I do. The IED is on board until July 5th, and you can imagine that he has a big list, but right on the top of his priority list is to review the NES applications and to advise us as to whether or not he thinks there's a reasonable candidate therein. And he will do that very shortly. I told him we were meeting tonight and might meet again before Monday. He indicated he would try to have that done before our meeting on Monday.
Okay. Thanks. Anyone else want to say anything about next steps, or do we just wait till next Monday and see where we're at?
Carolyn, staff, please.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about I apologize if I don't know this. Does the committee know where the RFP has been distributed and advertised?
We haven't agreed on any RFP this year. That's on. If you recall, I announced that as an agenda item tonight, is whether to have an RFP.
So I'm confused. We've asked for
let me clarify.
I see
what you're asking. No, that wasn't an RFP. That was just a standard job announcement. That was drafted by the committee and sent to the previous IED, and I believe, and when she didn't post it, the PNB directed her to post it, and I believe that happened in March. And that's still, as we speak, sitting on the Pacifica website. And it's just a job announcement that, you know, Pacifica is looking to hire a national election supervisor.
But didn't we advertise anywhere? Or?
Not to my
knowledge. No one was charged with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mark Fusek, that was the other thing I did ask Vernon Duncan about, was whether he thought, based on what he had received, whether it needed to be reposted or re-advertised, and he said he'd get back to me about that as well.
Okay, can whoever has a bird chirping in the background please mute their phone? That would be helpful. Nice to hear birds. Okay, well, any other discussion about where we should go with this, or do we just want to kind of wait till we hear more?
This is Jane Zara from D.C. I'm sorry to be late.
Oh, that's okay. Welcome, Jane. Okay, well, if there's no further discussion, I think we should move on to our next agenda item. All right, so the next item is the next steps with the timeline working group. Jim, that's a 15-minute item. And just a review for people who weren't on the last call or weren't listening or able to listen. We set up a working group several meetings ago, we set up a working group to come up with a timeline. They did come up with a draft. We had a lot of discussion about it on the last call and decided to ask them to rework it. And they, some more people volunteered and we asked them to set a date, but they haven't been able to do so. So can anyone give us kind of an update? Lawrence, are you still, you're still with us, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, you want to tell us what things are at?
Yeah. We just sent out a query to those in the working group with a couple of dates and a couple of days. So we're just waiting because I was under the impression that actually this meeting was going to happen next week. So that's why I kind of lagged behind sending the query out. But the query's out there, so I'm just waiting for people to respond. I think one day is Friday at 1 o'clock. And then Saturday as well, if anybody's available.
At what time? On
Friday at 1?
Friday at 1, yeah.
These are Eastern time?
Yes, Eastern time.
Okay. Friday at 1, and what time Saturday?
No. Friday at 4 Eastern time. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Friday at 4 Eastern time, and Saturday at 11 Eastern time.
11 Eastern, so that's 8 a.m. West Coast time?
Yeah, I'll be up.
Okay.
So that's the extent of what the working group has done as of the last meeting.
Okay. Well, since we have people on the line right now, not to take much time with this, but just very quickly, is there anyone who is interested in the working group that can come to either of those times?
I think. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Michael, entering.
Yeah, maybe there's some confusion. You asked me to send out that announcement, Lawrence, and what you told me was Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, or Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific,
4
p.m. Eastern.
You're right. I stand corrected.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you read
I don't have it in front
the
of
correct
me
times?
Go ahead, Michael. Can you state that, please?
Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
Those are the two times.
Now with those times.
But if people haven't received that, I'm not sure. I'm showing it on my computer. I sent email.
Yeah, I received it.
Okay.
Through the committee's listserv.
Yeah, okay.
Now that we're clear on the times, is there anyone on this call who can actually attend either of those times?
Serene.
Janet K.
Serene and then Janet.
Good with either.
Okay. Janet?
I could only do the Friday, but I have a question. I'm wondering whether Renee Asteria was the NES in 2010, I believe, and I'm wondering whether it would make sense to get input from her or other NESs and maybe to invite her to participate in this working group or
in a discussion of the timeline? I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes, because she had experience with what tasks needed to be done from her being hired or from the NES being hired until the, well, throughout the whole process.
I thought we weren't going to mention I see. You're just suggesting we might ask her for advice?
Yes.
Okay, I have very serious reservations about that, and I'd be happy to tell you offline, but I don't want to do it here.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't think it would be helpful.
Okay. All right. Who else wanted to speak on this? Right now we're just talking about the reason I'm doing this on the call rather than waiting for email later is that we have everyone here, and if it turns out that neither time works for enough people, then maybe we need to come up with a third option. So is there anyone else besides Serene who can attend either of those two times?
There's Richard.
Yes.
That's Friday the 20th?
Yes.
This coming Friday?
Yes.
Yep. Put me down for Friday. That's Friday night, right? From 8?
Right.
Eight Eastern. Yeah, put me down for Friday.
Okay. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Last call.
I think that was four people said Friday was okay.
Can you say the four? Because I only got heard three.
I think it was Janet.
Janet, were you agreeing that you could be on?
Yes, on Friday.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, do people think that four? I think four is a good number. Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Saying
fine.
They can go ahead. And if there's anyone not on this call, Lawrence, could you post tomorrow morning what the final time, you know, that it will be Friday and the correct time and the number so that anyone who didn't happen to be here tonight or whose schedule changes could join the call? Is that doable, Mike? Lawrence? Lawrence? All right. Well, we'll come back.
Yes, sir.
Can you post that tomorrow?
Can you repeat that? Because I was away from the phone.
Okay. Can you post tomorrow that there's been a consensus that Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, is the time it should happen?
Absolutely. I'll do that.
You know, and post the number. It's the same number as we always use anyway.
Okay.
Just post it so it's convenient for people. And, you
okay,
know, and
great.
Anyone's
I'll...
welcome to be on, not just people who... formally, I mean, anyone on the committee is welcome to be on, not just people who might have previously said they would be on. It's an open working group. Okay. All right. So that's that. So now let's go on. The next item is the next steps on cost-cutting measures and whether to draft a request for proposals for balloting and tabulation services. Jim, that's a 20-minute item. So... you know, we've had some general discussion about ways to cut costs, and the only ideas that I can recall, and please fill in blanks if I'm leaving any, is the League of Women Voters, at least in L.A., was approached in an earlier election, and they said they didn't really know about SVP, what is it called? Single transferable voting. But that Michael, I believe, said you might be able to check back with them to see if that's changed, and that we recommended people check with their local League of Women Voters in the other four station areas. And then the other idea that came up was universities, perhaps political science departments, and just general, you know, or civic organizations that might be interested in this, like mediation organizations or... good government or clean election organizations. It wouldn't hurt to just ask around to see if there are people who, even if they couldn't do it for completely free, maybe they would do it for discount. So we just need to exhaust all the options before we go to just straight up hiring in the normal way. So the floor is open, though, for more suggestions about how to cut costs.
Teresa here.
Go ahead.
Okay. Have we decided that it's definitely opt-in?
Can you clarify what you mean by that?
We're going to send out a letter, and it says, here's your ballot, and you go online and whatever. And if you and the information about the candidates is online. If you want something in writing, you must call in and say you want it. Then we send if they call in, they opt in, then we send them the more expensive paper description of all the candidates.
Okay, I understand now. So, does someone recall whether there's been a decision on this for this coming election?
Richard to the set.
Yes, Richard.
I sent you all. I think I don't know. I might have missed some people. I put a note on there for you to pass it to somebody I didn't send. I sent the minutes from last year where the balloting. Motion was passed to achieve maximum cost efficiency and to increase participation to set up electronic balloting. And that passed 14-1, 14-1-6. And I sent all y'all the page of that, of the minutes that have that. So it has the exact motion wording in there. In that wording, it was opt out. In other words, you would be set up to vote electronically unless you opted out of voting electronically and wanted paper. I know there's some confusion about opting in or out or around and about and stuff, but the way that was set up last year was that the main way to do it is the electronic way. And that if you didn't want to do that, if you wanted paper for the booklet or for their ballot, you would opt out of the electronic and into the paper.
Well,
okay.
Teresa for the stack.
Yeah, hold on. Thanks for the clarification. So
and Janet K for the stack.
All right. Before we go on with this, I want to see if the committee wants to get into this right this minute, because that's certainly an aspect of cost cutting, but I was hoping we could we could start with the bigger picture. It's not
yeah, I just wanted
important.
To let you know.
No, that's fine.
I just wanted
that's
to
fine.
Put my attention to you.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. But what I'm saying is before we, I mean, this could be a long discussion, and I'm
sure.
suggesting that we start, we come back to it, definitely, but that we start with the question I posed about organizations we could approach to see if they could provide low-cost or even free services, whether partial or full, you know, LES equivalents or NES equivalents.
Sure. Sure.
So is there any objection to continuing on that topic and then coming back to this question of opt-in versus opt-out? Okay. So here,
Carolyn on the stack.
Are you objecting to going in that order? That's my question.
Yeah, Carolyn
object?
On the stack, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say whether we object or not until we really examine them both, so I think we should keep both of those possibilities open and examine them as we go forward. Some organizations offer cost-cutting in one area and not in another. Others offer to help us with getting the ballot in members to vote. Others don't. So I think we shouldn't restrict the discussion to one aspect or another.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting any. I'm not suggesting a restriction of the discussion. I'm suggesting an order, a logical ordering of the discussion. That's all. We will definitely discuss opt-in versus opt-out. But I think, you know, I'm suggesting we first do the bigger issue of institutions that might help us. So,
I'm sorry, institutions help us to do what?
As I said, to either provide individuals or perhaps their organization collectively could either fulfill some of the roles of an LES or some of the roles of an NES. Those are both positions that can be broken into component parts. And some people might do some, or, you know, there may be, who knows, one of them might say, you know, we actually have an expert, and she's willing to spend, you know, time if she gets, you know, like extremely minimal compensation. We don't know until we ask. And that's I'm suggesting we talk about, we brainstorm right now about what organizations can we approach. It's not a commitment to anything.
Try and get a point of information.
I'm sorry, who wants the point of information?
Janet Kay.
Janet, go ahead.
And then Serene, please.
And then Serene. Janet.
So were you, you might have already said this, but say approaching the League of Women Voters in the Bay Area is possible when it comes to STV, because we have STV elections for in various cities for various offices. But so you are saying possibly to recommend or make available individuals who could possibly serve as an NES or LES. What about also ways of tabulating the STV ballots?
Absolutely, that too.
That too, or any of that, any combination.
Yeah, any of the things. And, you know, and I should make clear that we have all the documents. If anyone does want, and I really hope people will volunteer to approach different groups, we have documents from past elections, so we can tell them exactly what tasks we need done. It's not vague. It's not confusing. It's very clearly laid out. And so we just need people to say, okay, I'll call this one. I'll call that one. All right, Serene was next.
And Jane, too, Steph?
And then Jane.
So I'd like to make a motion that we proceed with the discussion of alternatives in terms of staffing for the election, and then go back to other cost-cutting measures, such as the whole, you know, do you get a ballot or do you have to ask for a ballot or do you have to whatever.
Okay. All right, so that's a motion about our procedure. Is there any discussion?
Can I hear that again, please? I wasn't clear on what it was.
I move that we move immediately to a discussion of approaching organizations, schools, civic organizations, etc., about providing personnel at free or low cost to staff the elections, and then we proceed to a discussion of other cost-cutting measures, such as how and if people get ballots.
Okay, so that's the motion. Any discussion? All right, is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, and that's adopted. And now let's go back to the discussion. Before, there was someone else on the stack on the question of approaching organizations. Can
Jane,
yes. Sorry, go ahead.
I guess, Serene Dunn, well, I was going to suggest the National Lawyers Guild. They're pretty active and have responded when we needed stuff. So
great idea, yeah.
And one question. So I noticed you mentioned Oakland and the League of Women Voters. I'm wondering, is it helpful if the local affiliates put out this for a local? I mean, it would. And a national list like the Lawyers Guild is one thing, but the local lists, for local volunteers, we would also suggest things for that as well. Is that what we're doing now? Such as the D.C., you know, or the Washington area League of Women Voters for whatever local volunteers we need.
Yeah, I mean, just
Janet Kay.
Sure, Janet, one second. I mean, yeah, my own two cents is it's better to start local and, you know, try to get a contact, and then if they're at all open, then say, well, could you also forward this to the national on our behalf, or could we, or, you know, or do you recommend that we forward it directly to the national, whatever the organization is we're talking about? Okay.
No, I'm sorry. My question is, there are, I mean, one would be a national election supervisor, and that would basically work out of California, or does it matter what the location is?
It has never mattered to Pacifica where physically, where the person is who's NES. The LES, there is a problem if they're not close to the signal area. But the NES, they've been all over the place.
Okay,
Janet?
Never mind.
Okay.
My question was answered.
All right. Anyone else? Well, Janet, you specifically mentioned, I thought, an excellent idea, which is the League of Women Voters in Oakland or in the Bay Area. Would you be willing to approach them?
I will do my best to do that. There's local NLGs also. So.
Right. Well, are there people on this call who would approach their National Lawyers Guild chapter? Because I think all five of our signal areas have a chapter.
Let me just add something.
Sure.
Go ahead, Janet.
Yeah, so there is some entity, I don't remember the name of it, that I think initially was an organization that was enabled STV to be put in place in either Pacifica first and then in the other cities locally here. I don't remember the name of the organization, but I think I could contact somebody within that area.
Okay.
Could I ask about a process? This is Jane again. Sorry.
Sure. Jane, then Serene.
Okay. So could I suggest, I mean, I could put it on the National and Local Lawyers Guild and League of Women Voters, as well as some local law schools in D.C. and around the area. I'm just wondering if you want us to send you the links, or that you send the information out and we vet the organizations that we're going to send, that we want to send them to the committee. Is there sort of a process, or does anyone care about vetting the organizations and you just send out the letter of solicitation and we forward it to the listservs? I'm wondering what the best process is after this.
Right, that's a good question. Yeah, people can address that in the next round of comments. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I wanted to propose that Bob draft a letter, short letter, that would be sort of a pitch letter to the organizations that outlines our process and our needs, so that the same information is being given to everyone that we approach.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm willing.
Good
to
idea.
Yeah.
Second.
And obviously, I'll put that up on the committee listserv before it's final, and give us, you know, maybe 48 hours for folks to weigh in if they have any edits. And then once that time has elapsed, then folks can just take it and use it. I do think it would be good to check with the committee before you approach a new organization. I mean, if you have somebody in mind tonight, mention it now. And then if we meet on Monday, mention it then, but just to make sure that, you know, that people haven't heard anything that would be a reason that some organization might not be suitable. Just, you know, as a double check. That would be my personal sense of how to handle the question of who to approach. Okay, any other comments on or volunteering to do any contacting?
Michael, do the stack. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
I actually looked at the websites of the League of Women Voters in all the signal areas, and the LA ones are the only one that offered that as a service on the list of what they did. It might be that they would respond, but I think it's less likely.
Okay.
LA actually, among the things they do is election supervision.
Right.
I have a list of two or three other types of organizations, and I'll forward it to the list. They were like sort of democratization, you know, people who work on the international level, and they had some national affiliates.
Okay. Great. And Michael, did you approach League of Women Voters this year?
No.
I'm sorry. No.
Sorry.
Do you have time to do that in the near future?
I'll see what I can do tomorrow. Otherwise, I'm leaving town Friday and won't be back until the 29th. So I'm not going to be on the next call either.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Bob, just 1 minute.
Thanks, Jim. Anyone else who can volunteer to call any organization?
This is Jane Tidstack again. The organizations that I mentioned, are they okay? And also, we get fair vote in D.C. to come and do our smaller elections. Also, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting website, might that be a good one to advertise as well?
Does anyone know? You mean for a job ad?
Yes. Because it's who to post there, from what I see.
Do they have other job ads? It's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah, they do. Because we're getting ready to post for our general manager and PD, and we've been looking at websites for it, both nationally and locally. So that one comes to mind, and it seems very easy to do on that one.
Right. I don't know. What do people think about that? My sense is that that's more for radio professionals, and the kind of person we're looking for to run an election is not going to be looking at a CPB website for a job, but maybe not. I mean, it's not free, is it? There's a fee.
Yes, it is free.
Oh, it's free. Oh, well, that's different. If it's free, I guess there's no harm.
I'm sorry. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. All right. Now, your other questions were about where the organizations you listed okay with us, and can you just restate them besides the National Lawyers Guild? Oh,
sure,
Fair Vote.
The
you know, Fair Vote was actually approached several elections ago, and they said at that time they couldn't handle an election, but there's no harm in asking them again.
Okay.
Because you're right, they do have, well, you said it, they have a direct relationship with WPFW, so certainly no harm in asking.
Okay. And the other ones I mentioned were the law schools such as AU, GW, Georgetown, you know, whatever other ones are in town, Howard,
To me, they all sound fine. Does anyone have an opinion whether we're more likely to have luck with a law school versus a political science department? It's hard to get.
Bob, you're fading in and out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me try to talk right into the mouthpiece. Does anyone have a feeling as to whether it'll be more likely for us to get results from law schools versus political science departments? Given that all of our times are
limited.
Can
you hear me? Teresa here?
Yes, Teresa.
I think the political science department, I think it's it needs to be clear. I would hate to think that we might be the subject of a paper that says Pacifica's really messed up. You know, this is my term paper. I conducted an election. It was devastating. But I would think the political science department. But I think that more than an understanding of STV is the point that this person would have to, like, schedule public events and schedule people to do their to come in and do their little spots on the radio and work with program directors to play the spots fairly, you know, consistently, you know. So to me, that's more something that because, I mean, there were many bones of contention, like you didn't play this, you know, we didn't play this fairly. And I thought that it was more important to have a relationship with the program director to work out some sort of system that worked.
Well, I think Teresa makes a very good point that the LES jobs are, and for that matter, the NES jobs or tasks are divisible, and so you don't need one person to have every skill set. So she's absolutely right. The person does not need to know SCV because that they could just not be involved. They could choose not to be involved in ballot tabulation. But all those previous steps that Teresa was mentioning, and to which I would add the most difficult, I think, is handling complaints about violations of the rules.
Yep.
That kind of person, you know, they don't need some specialized electoral knowledge. They just need to know how to be fair, how to work well and collaboratively with people, and, you know, how to defuse conflict, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll try to make some of that clear when I draft the letter.
Lawrence to the stack.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Janet Kay to the stack.
Lawrence.
Okay, so I was just thinking that I'd like to contact the Southwest Voter Registration Project.
Okay.
It's and the Willie Velasquez Institute as well.
And
so
can you say what that is?
Willie Velasquez Institute is a nonprofit that works on voter registration for the most part, and they do a lot of voter protection work, and so does the Southwest Voter Registration Project as well. It's also a nonprofit that does the same kind of work. So I'll approach them if that's okay with the committee.
Okay, sounds good. Let's see, was that Janet next?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, so I found the name of this organization, Californians for Electoral Reform, and then they also work with Fair Vote, the Center for Voting and Democracy, California IRV Coalition. There's all a bunch of other organizations they work with, so I could just include those as well.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Anyone else have any thoughts about any of the organizations that the last few speakers have named? Concerns? Okay. All right. Well, we're at time.
Teresa here, I would like to make one comment.
Sure. Go ahead.
Perhaps with these organizations, for example, if they would do us a service, we could provide a service to them in kind. For example, if we agree that the League of Women Voters, that we will air some of their candidate debates, they might be willing to help us with our election work. Just a thought.
Okay. First, before we get into responses, we are at time. So let's have an extension, shall we say, 10 minutes? Is there any objection to extending this conversation for 10 minutes? Okay, hearing none, it's extended. So, responses to Teresa's suggestion about offering airtime.
Well, may I say something else?
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
I would like to say I think it would be nice if we did that anyway, if we aired League of Women Voter debates. I mean, they used to do the presidential debates, for example, I think, before it was brought to us by Coors Beer. But I think it would be a great public service to air those debates. But perhaps that would be one way to at least get the discussion going. And maybe it would be helpful for us to get to know each other by saying, you know, maybe you can offer us some advice in the, try this, if you can find some volunteers to do this, and then you'll understand our organization better. And in the meantime, we'd also like to work on these other projects with you. Thank you.
Okay.
Lawrence to the sec?
Yes, go ahead.
Janet K.
Yeah. I heard you. Go ahead, Lawrence.
I'm sorry, did you hear me?
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't hear you, Serene. Okay, so the order is Lawrence. Hold on one second. Lawrence, Serene, and then Janet.
So I don't have an objection to Teresa's idea. I just have a concern. And my concern is that it seems like the leader woman voters has gone a little corporate. And they'll just air a debate by the two parties. And a lot of our constituents are also third party members. So if we could also have some time that they also that they allow into these debates that they may be airing third party, then I don't have any concern other than that.
Okay, Serene.
Okay, guys. If someone could pound one. What I wanted to say when Teresa began to speak earlier is that I have a lot of qualms about having airtime traded for services. We don't have money and we do need the service, and it just makes me slightly uncomfortable because it's the beginning of it could be the beginning of a very bad practice. So I'm leery of that suggestion.
Okay, Janet, and then myself.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. But in addition, one of the things that the LSB election would need to have is on-air debate for just the LSB election, and then to compound that with on-air debates for governmental or whatever makes it a little more difficult. And I agree with what Lawrence said. The election, there is going to be an election in November, regular election. So how would that kind of conflict with the LSB election? Don't know. But anyway, just.
Okay. And
Teresa, can you hear me?
Yeah, hang on. I called on myself, and then I'll call on you again. I agree with the last two comments, and I would just also add that this is really a programming question, and therefore really needs to be taken up by the program director or whoever makes decisions at that station, at each station, about programming, and it really should be separate and apart from services that may be offered. And, which is not to say, if in the course of a conversation that any of us have with our local League of Women Voters, they say, by the way, what are the chances that you all could air some of the debates that we moderate, well, then we were always free to say, I'll be happy to take that up or to forward your suggestion to our program director and see what she or he says about it, and then, deal with it through the proper channels, but not as a, in return for this, we will do that kind of thing. Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
Well, as a friend of the League of Women Voters and active in voter registration, as well as someone who has tried to set up debates on air and also tried to set up debates with the League, I know that they are a highly ethical organization, so careful that, for example, they will not have a debate if they only have two candidates, two parties running, and one of the parties will not participate, they won't even have the debate. They won't stage the debate. And by all means, they would welcome all third parties. We should encourage this no matter what. We should encourage coverage of local debates just as a service in our community. Thank you.
Okay. Jim, how many minutes do we have left of the 10 extended?
You have 4 minutes left.
Okay. All right. So any last comments on this question of approaching organizations to help? Or any last volunteers, people who would, you know, call any colleges or organizations in your signal area? Well, I'm
can
sorry,
you hear me? Tracy here.
Now I can, yeah.
And Michael.
Michael
well, actually, yeah, Michael, you haven't spoken in a while.
And but, then Janet Kay.
Okay, Michael, Janet, and Teresa.
Well, just last time we said we would bring this to our LSPs to see if other people might have suggestions. And I believe when we had the previous working group, Nancy Sabarnar told me was on it and offered to check with some of the schools in her area. So I think that we should you know, see if other people might be able to do some of this work.
That's a great idea. Yeah, thanks for reminding us. So, yeah, so once I finalize this letter, then could each of you, you know, take it to your LSBs and circulate it on your listservs and, you know, bring it up at meetings and just try to enlist more people to help. Okay, so next was, let's see, Lawrence.
Well, I think next was Janet Kay.
Janet?
So I'm not questioning the integrity of the League of Women Voters. I'm just questioning that some of the debates that I've seen has been dominated by just the two parties. So it's great to hear Teresa saying that that they don't do debates without the third party over there in Texas. But over here, they haven't done it so. The integrity of the League of Women Voters, I don't question because I do a lot of voter protection work. So I don't question the integrity or the ethics. It's just, you know, the concern that I had previously about just airing the two-headed monster and not the third party.